What I'm asking is, what's happening?
No, it was not. That is a different show that had its own spinoff.
Happening verse.
Oh darn! Aren't they connected somehow?
No. Here's what it was. It was the thing.
Did they go into reruns?
Here's what.
Oh.
Rest in peace. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Sneaky Dragon, episode 228. I'm Ian Boothby.
And I'm David Dedrick.
And you might be saying, wait, isn't this 227? It's not. It's 228. 227 was last week. And it's a shame because the number has great significance to our guest today. All the way from Seattle, which is where we are, Branwyn Bigglestone is back.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, Branwyn.
Hi.
People have been asking, where have you been?
No, they haven't.
Nope, that's true. Back to 227. When we mentioned
never,
that...
Never use false modesty on this show. It doesn't work.
It was... in Canada, that would fly. In America...
Nope.
We say it like it is.
We run you over with our big, giant truck.
We're preparing for the Trump apocalypse.
Our big, giant trucks and racism.
Yep. Oh, big trucks and racism. I like that country music album.
I think people are mixing up what trumpets are blaring during the apocalypse.
That could be. But back to 227. Now, when we mentioned that it might be episode 227, you got very excited. Why don't you explain why?
Because of the television program with Jack A.
Right. Now, I got excited about Room 222.
222 is
true. When we hit that, because you know I'm slightly older than our guest today.
Yeah.
This is really basically the number that excites you tells you what your age is. But what was that show about? Now, that starred the person who was the maid on the Jeffersons.
Uh-huh. Marla Gibbs.
But she was not the star of the show, really.
Jack A is the star of everything.
Okay, would you say that?
Can we take it one?
No, sir. I will not yield the floor. Would you say that Jack A.
It's a filibuster
is to Marla Gibbs as Henry Winkler is to Ron Howard, and that he was
that
not the star
fair.
Of the show, but he was the reason for the show as the show progressed?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
back to you,
fair.
Dave.
What is this show? I have no idea what you're talking about,
Dave. What isn't this show?
I remember
it was a stoop.
Okay, here's the thing. I remember...
Where people talked?
I remember All in the Family. I remember Good Times. And I remember the Jeffersons. But somehow I missed this other spinoff.
It's not a spinoff, sir.
It was not a spinoff of the Jeffersons?
No, no. This is in the 227 verse.
It's entirely different.
It's not in the Lear verse.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. So what was 227? Like, what is the theme of the show? Or what's
the premise
of the
show? Yeah, give us the hot
pitch. I actually don't remember any of that.
What's happening? What I'm asking is, what's happening?
No, it was not. That is a different show that had its own spinoff.
Not the what's happening verse.
The what's happening verse. Oh, darn. Aren't they connected somehow?
No, here's what it was. It was the thing.
Did they go into reruns?
Here's what...
Oh!
Rest in peace, person who played rerun. He could dance, and yet he was fat. That surprised us all in the 70s.
Right?
Reese's Pieces, person who played rerun.
It's not too late to leave if you feel like it. Well, here's the mistake
can
they
I
made.
Leave?
You can leave anytime.
Anytime.
You are free. You're free to leave.
Once again, false modesty is
this is a real Hotel California situation. No, what happened was
we're gonna do the whole show in a cod reggae accent.
The best part of the Jeffersons.
I believe you mean D Hotel California.
That was the maid who would wise off. To
as
Mr.
Maids?
Jefferson.
Of course, as
she's
all servants
like
do.
The America to Mr. Jefferson's Canada.
Absolutely. Yeah, okay. Absolutely. Right. We've all said that in Canada. So what TV decided was, hey, you know how you do all the jokes and such. What if we make you the lead and take away all the jokes? And you're the lead. And they go, and the person went, oh, I like that because I like being the lead. Okay, we're going to take away all the jokes. And they had to have someone else do the jokes.
Yeah.
And the person who did the jokes was a person called Jack A,
okay.
Who was like a larger than life character and got bigger as, no, I don't mean physically, but she got bigger as the show progressed character wise.
It was a she.
What did you think Jack A was?
I have no idea. I thought the person's name was Jack, last initial A.
Hey!
Yeah, like Jack A, period.
Yeah, like a Fonzie thing again.
No, not a Fonzie thing. Like Jack A.
You're thinking of some kind of Fonzie scheme.
Yes. Thank you for reaching down that hole and pulling that out.
We've started this episode already really ugly.
Stop reaching into holes and pulling things out.
That's how you get spinoffs.
And what a disease that is.
All right. Why don't we explain why we're all here today?
Okay.
All right.
We're here to say goodbye to Sneaky Dragon Podcast.
And to the comics industry.
I thought you were going to murder me.
Your back is to the window. We are here for Emerald City Comic Con.
That's why we lured you to the library.
Right. And Dave has snuck some recording equipment across the border.
You don't have to sneak it across.
You do if you're Canadian. Yeah, you do.
Yeah, I'm not selling it.
No, it doesn't matter. Look, fuck off with this stuff.
You might get some kids into recording with this.
Yeah, that's right. True. If you're crossing the border and you're a Canadian performer of any kind,
yeah,
and you go like, what are you doing going across the border? I'm doing a free show. Well, we're going to ban you from America for 2 years. That's basically it, because you're looking for a job, right? That's okay. What it looks like, right?
Oh, okay.
So if you're going across with recording equipment,
yeah. You're
like, what are you doing with recording equipment? I'm going to do a podcast. Nope, you're not, because that sounds like you're doing work.
It takes jobs away from American podcasters.
Yeah.
Actually, today, crossing the border this morning, which I did, I didn't go across the forested area. This is the first time I was ever asked what I do for a living. Which is a question I hate at parties.
Yeah.
And I really hate it at the border, it
turns out. Do you think that he was flirting with you?
You know what? Is that why he had his hand on my shirt? I thought he was feeling
it
for...
It could be worse at the border, brother. I thought it could be way worse at the border.
I thought he was just checking for listening devices. No. I've never been asked that question before. I think because normally I go across with my family. But today I was going across like a shiftless loner.
Right, with a whole bunch of microphones.
Yeah.
I did not declare the microphones.
You didn't declare them?
No, I just drove across. Like a wild and fancy free fellow.
All right, so...
Heading down to Emerald City.
Branwyn?
What's Emerald City, sir? Am I the first person? Oh, that's right. The border just opened when I got there, actually, because it opens at 8 in the morning.
Oh, okay.
Because I live in a hick rural area, so he probably hadn't seen the hundreds of cars that are going to be driving down to Emerald City
yet. That is true. But let's recreate the scenario and see what you said. So Branwyn, if you would not mind playing a border guard. Now, you're an American border guard.
Yeah.
So this gentleman is now crossing the border from Canada into your sacred land. Please confront him, and we'll just play the scene out. This is the thing we like doing: recreating border. There's a lot of TV shows in Canada about people trying to cross the border and it going terribly wrong.
Is that right?
There is. There's a lot.
Not just our podcast.
No.
Okay, we're gonna be doing a scene of something I've already described. That's okay.
See if you can get the rights to Madonna's Borderline.
Okay.
We're gonna play that now, and then we're gonna take you to the border, and Bran will be playing the border guard. You will be playing Dave Dedrick.
I would sing Borderline, but I don't know how it goes.
That's fine. You don't know 227 either, so don't worry about it. Okay, and we're going to begin.
Did Jack Hayes' name have like an accent grave over the E?
Did.
Of course it did.
It had accenty goos, it had accent graves, it had umlauts. It was fantastic. Okay, and we take you now to the border this morning. Go.
Okay, so I
What part of this aren't you getting?
I'm driving up.
Okay.
I drive.
You don't shush
a
border guard. Okay, go ahead.
I'm shushing you, narrator. Mm-hmm. I drive up to the border.
Yep.
Now, your line.
Hello, respectable white male. You may come on into our country.
Yes! That's pretty much how it goes.
All right.
Unless there's two white males, in which case, please step into the office and don't use the facilities or I will yell at you make you pee your pants.
That's true. That was a true story. All right. Could you please, as the border guard, could you please just ask David what his job is?
But you just said that it was a true story and he mentioned peeing pants. So let's back up here a second.
Oh, that was a true story. Yeah. That was Dave and I were crossing the border.
Did you both pee your pants or just one of you?
No.
He peed my pants for me.
I know borders are shitty. Mr. American did not. So we're going across in cocky McSurefire. Like, we're going across with comics and shit or whatever and says, step aside, fellas. And
I should have used my moonshine running storage compartment.
We were bringing a couple of Xeroxed copies of comic books across the border. And so apparently that was hell to pay. Like, one of the border guards did not care.
Yeah.
One of the women who was working there really did care. And every time the one guy was
That's because women don't like comic books.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Whenever he was going to let us off the hook, she would come in and go, but they didn't declare the comics. And like, oh, for fricks. So, you see, I had to go and get, because he's Yankee Doodle, he could go across. But they held us in a room for quite a while. Dave needed to pee. He's going, can I go pee? They go, no, because you're going to pee out your drugs. So, no. So, no peeing for you. So, Mr. Dedrick here had a hard time with his bladder. I prepared for this in advance.
That's why I got cancer.
Yep, that's right.
cause testicular cancer.
Absolutely.
You should sue the American government.
I'm going to sue the entire United States government.
So yeah. I had to go and gather receipts of hydro bills, mm-hmm. power bills, electronic bills, proof of where I live.
You had to go by work.
And I had to prove that I was employed in Canada.
Yeah.
And the only way I could do that was I was in a play at the time. Mm-hmm. And there was a review for the play. And it showed how long the play was running. And my name was mentioned a couple of times in the review.
Yeah.
So I brought that along. We're getting across the border. We go up to the guy. We go, first of all, they fine us. They fine us. And we get fined after all this, $5. Okay, so then back over the border you go.
Which was fine. It was fine in both ways.
Okay, so you're going to go across the border. I got all my documents. We're going over to do this. We got these comics and we got this. All right. Oh, the last time they made us stop. Yeah, it's no big deal. Go ahead. So, you know, that was great. Great times.
Okay. No, he didn't care. He could have cared less.
It was stupid that we brought it up. The first guy hauling us in over it and the woman.
We didn't mention it the first time. They discovered them in the trunk and carried them in like they were a trophy ready to be.
We got them, guys.
We're going to have a press conference.
We have all the acid papers. Yeah. That's right.
Slow clap.
Absolutely.
We got the contraband zines.
Oh, yeah. Our photocopied mess.
But yeah, we eventually made it across the border and life went on. But let's now recreate that scene with you now playing the border guard. And then David will tell you the job that he does and how he describes it.
Okay.
And we take it now to the border and what happened this morning.
Okay.
Hello, tweet, sir.
Tweet, tweet, tweet. I'm a bird, by the way. That's in the background. Tweet, tweet.
I'm just kind of
annoying at all. Thanks.
Caw, 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 meow.
Oh, a cat ate the bird. Okay.
Ooh. All right.
Go ahead.
What's your business, sir?
I believe you mean business.
Please step inside.
I have to do my business inside.
Get back in your seat.
What did I say? I said, I work for a...
Wait, sorry. Let's do this one more time. This time, please do it as Jack A.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And begin, and here we go.
What's your business?
What's your business? That more sounds like, what am I doing going across the border, which was also a question.
Stop arguing with Jack A.
But
you sexy, sexy man.
Ooh, Jack A. I like you now. Not that I didn't like you before, Jack A, but now I really like you. I work for a garage door company called Steelcraft.
All right.
That's the reaction I got, too. He wasn't like, wow, garage door company, you say? That sounds interesting. Tell me more. And leaned on his hands, put his chin on his...
I need a garage door.
I need a garage door. What kind do you sell? Well, we sell Steelcraft. That's what we're called, Steelcraft. But really, which ones are they? They're Steelcraft. That's what we sell. There you go.
Would you sell a double-wide garage door?
I will... Sure.
What's the biggest garage door you sell?
The biggest one that I've personally loaded onto a vehicle was a 30-foot door, 30-foot wide door.
God damn. What
it's
a
big,
world.
Big, eh?
It is,
God
A.
Goddamn big. And it was A? And I said I didn't say A. A couple of shows ago, I claimed not to say A, or maybe that was last week. I don't know. Yeah.
I'm that good. And I get people to reveal their deepest, darkest secrets.
By doing Jack A impressions.
Yep.
That's what made me put in my mind. I'm doing Dave A.
Are you Dave A?
Yeah.
Accent Grav. We've got our title card. Accent. We have our title card.
Accent Grav over the,
excellent.
I can't wait to see the drawing.
Yep.
You guys, you never know what I'm going to do.
Stop doing the podcast and start drawing that now. The rest of the podcast doesn't matter.
Dave as Jack A.
I don't even know what it is, but we'll see.
You'll see.
What I like best about title cards is when people during the show go, oh, this will be a great title card. And I'm like, okay. And then I get home, I'm like, what'll be a good title card? Oh, I know, something totally opposite of what everyone told me.
Yeah, the easy thing to do.
Some of it is easy, but, you know, if I can't find anything good to do, you know, because last time I was like, Dave, do butt, what was it, like...
butt stuff.
No, butt chaps.
I don't want to see that chaps, title card.
Half chaps with a butt plug. That's a perfect title card subject, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. What I thought was...
You did Bernie Sanders instead.
No, this was...
Let's split the difference.
That's right, Bernie Sanders. What I thought when we guys were talking about that was I was thinking about there's that famous image of the two cowboys face to face that was like from Vivian Westwood. They sold in the sex shop and there's like two cowboys they're dressed on top but they're naked so their penises are touching. So I was like, that's the only
are they docking?
Like, what's that?
Never mind.
That's the only iconic image I could think of that involved possible butt chaps, but they were just naked. They didn't wear chaps. So
I come from the Bay Area and. Mm-hmm. There's the...
You just see that on the streets.
You do, actually.
You're not excited by a t-shirt of it.
You do. There's a whole street fair that is nothing but butts and chaps. Hmm. So, chaps, and some whipping.
Chaps in chaps. That's what it's called.
Yeah.
That's the British
Folsom Street Fair. It's a thing.
You don't live in San Francisco, though.
No. No.
You live in the...
I was born in San Francisco.
Well, because Oakland doesn't have its own hospital.
None.
Yeah. Pretty much.
It's just the wild, wild west. pretty much
it's a bad. Yeah, they wore chaps unironically.
Yeah. When I was watching True Detective 2 this year, I just imagined that it was Oakland the whole time I was watching it.
They didn't say such a thing?
They didn't name the city, so I thought, well, or it was an imaginary city. I was like, you know what this
that
reminds me of?
That season was terrible.
Oakland. Yeah, it was not a very good season.
It really
season.
Was, wasn't
but that,
it? Yeah.
That shootout, yeah. That shootout one was good, though.
Yeah, that was good.
That was pretty awesome.
And we do have those in Oakland.
And I liked the weird, although it made no sense, rescue from the orgy, even though it was the most terrible orgy you've ever seen.
Yeah.
But the weird music that was playing during that sequence.
Yeah.
I just love that. It was so weirdly, like, compellingly odd because it didn't. It was like kind of string music that didn't really suit like a rescue
situation. I don't
remember
the music.
Well, come on. There wasn't much to take out of that show. You gotta find something.
Dave, would you mind doing some of that music for us right now?
I don't remember it. But it was...
Wow,
am I gonna...
Wow, wow.
No. It wasn't...
Wow. Taking a guess.
Wow.
Borderline. It's like I'm going to lose my mind.
Thank you.
Keep on pushing it.
I still don't recognize it.
Up to the borderline.
I like one Madonna song. That's all I got.
And that's Lady Madonna by the Beatles.
It's the only Madonna song I like. Exactly. One that isn't by her. No, I like Ray of Light. I think that's a pretty good song.
Wow. That is not the song that people would choose if they were choosing one Madonna song.
Fuck them. It's my.
He just likes videos that give you seizures.
I haven't seen the video for it. Is it a good video?
I thought you were going to say, is there a video for it?
I'm sure there is. Why would I do that?
Because you like the song.
Videos
trick
you.
You've just said you like the song.
Videos trick you because they make you think you like a song, and then you hear the song without the video, and you're like, "Oh, this song's terrible. What was I thinking?"
I
know, because people were jumping around.
I went to the Seattle Rock and Roll Museum or whatever that's called, and they have the gigantic screen when you first go in.
EMP.
Right? It's like Sky Church.
It's called EMP.
Okay. And then it's the screen is called Sky Church, and you're watching music videos on there, which is neat to see.
Sure.
But they play Thriller on there.
Huh?
Boy, you see that on a big screen. That is pretty good.
Nice.
Yeah.
Pretty good, yeah. It's creepy, too. And all these little kids were, like, watching it, and I thought, oh, they're going to be scared.
Yeah.
Dancing. Every one of them just dancing, having a great time.
I like it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They love the zombies. They're used to it.
Yep.
And this was zombies before people liked zombies. No one liked zombies back then. It was like, why would you pick a zombie situation? But they did it.
Yeah.
I had been to Experience Music once, and I thought it was okay, but, you know, if you like music, then you should listen to it and not look at guitars that other people played. I just shrugged.
You're saying it's like going to an art museum and seeing brushes.
Exactly right. Which, to be honest with you, I wouldn't mind entirely.
Well, then you've just argued yourself out. If you go now, here's...
But I'm more of a nerd about art supplies than I am about musical instruments, even though I do like music a lot. But because I draw, I love seeing other people's art supplies. I do. I love...
That's weird. You care more about the thing you're already interested in.
Yeah, it's strange.
It's so strange.
I care more about the thing I do.
Yeah.
Exactly. I know it's unusual.
Yeah.
It's not unusual to go to the borderline.
Madonna.
Why do people always end up singing when I'm on podcasts?
I don't know.
Please give another example.
I was on Cruisin' Together.
Okay.
That's
the Al Pacino podcast.
No, it's the podcast about the filmography of Tom Cruise.
Did you sing Warm Leatherette?
Oh my gosh, that sounds like a much better podcast than ours. Let's all just take a break and listen to that podcast.
Yeah,
I'm going to ask everyone
kind of
right now to just look up Branwyn Bigglestone and Cruisin' Together, it's called?
Cruisin' Together.
What was your film?
Greg Schiegel and Christy Russo.
Okay.
And I was on the episode for Collateral.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That's a good film.
And somehow it just ended up with them singing me the slow jams. Mm.
Why did he have white hair in that film?
Because it had to match the suit.
Oh, was that what the decision was? Was it a Michael Mann movie?
I don't remember.
Oh, you should listen to the podcast.
Think so.
You should listen to the podcast.
I should.
You should go.
Got sidetracked a lot on the podcast.
You should go on a podcast that does research.
Yeah, we don't care for sidetracking
on our podcast.
Yeah, don't listen to Cruising Together then.
If you go to the EMF, it's called?
EMP. Experience Music Project.
That's great.
Not EPMD?
Experience Music Project Def.
But if you go there now, 90% of the building is Hello Kitty. Okay, so just a warning. A very small percentage is indie games. That's fun.
Okay.
Then there's sci-fi stuff in the basement.
Yeah.
Joke things like, that's the invisible cloak, but there's nothing in there. Yeah. You have a good laugh and go like, I paid real money for this shit. And then some rock and roll guitars, some Jimi Hendrix business, which we've got a Jimi Hendrix shrine by my office in Vancouver, so I don't go for that. And then all Hello Kitty. Just nothing but all the different Hello Kitty things, Hello Kitty dolls, Hello Kitty cakes, Hello Kitty outfits, Hello Kitty braces, Hello Kitty everything.
Like for your teeth? You can have Hello Kitty on your teeth?
Yes, you can. And they get into a real description about Hello Kitty and how Hello Kitty isn't a cat. Hello Kitty is a little girl.
Why do they call it Hello Kitty then? Well, it's a little misleading, isn't it?
And
truth in advertising, am I right?
And apparently, I heard this from my friend
David?
Joanne
friend
yesterday.
David?
No, here's the thing. And she
what did your friend David say?
No, here's what happened. She's got a boyfriend and had a boyfriend that looks much like her. As, say, a Minnie Mouse and a Mickey Mouse would. Or a Daisy and a Donald.
Or a
Petunia and a Porky.
good grabs there.
Or, you know.
But what about Clarabelle and a Clarence?
I don't really. Okay, sure.
Clarabelle Cow and Clarence a Cow from Mikey Mose. You went out of the universe, so I'm a little upset.
Thank you for the deep cut. All right. But here's the thing. So you're like, oh, was her boyfriend a boy who just looks like a cat?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, incorrect. Not. Even though it's been her boyfriend for many, many years.
Yes.
Decades.
Lots of cartoons of having sex.
It's a girl.
Oh.
Huh.
It's a girl. It's another girl that just looks like a cat. So that's the situation with that. So either very open-minded or they're making this up as they go along.
Japan could care less.
I know a person who used to edit the new Hello Kitty comics.
Okay.
Tracy Todd.
Okay.
And she...
Why do I feel like you're outing them by doing...
She doesn't do it anymore.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
She works for another publishing company now.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, she was doing that for a while and Jacob Shabbat drew some of the comics. But yeah, I think I learned from her that it's like not actually a cat. And yeah, we made her pull out some deep Hello Kitty trivia because
nice.
Landry Walker was like, there was a character named Landry and then he disappeared. And
what happened with the Landry character?
I don't remember. But it was nice having an in.
Yeah.
Somebody who could...
I do like that kind of deep
I guess somebody
trivia.
Did the Landry.
Now here's... Is that a reference to something?
No, just laundry. Go on.
Well, that was a really close Dave.
Has it been 20 minutes?
Like shave? Yeah. You know. Speaking of 20 minutes and lulls, minutes. I made an error off the top.
Don't
where
be so
I,
honest, guys.
In our introduction of our guests,
mm-hmm.
I made an assumption that you would remember Branwen from previous shows, but I have not mentioned why you're here at Emerald City Comic Con. You're involved in the comics industry in what aspects and regards?
My title is Senior Accounts Manager for Image Comics, and I've done a little bit of freelance editing on the side. I like coming to these things and seeing my friends and being surprised with, hey, be on our podcast tomorrow. I'm like, all right.
As long as there's no singing.
Yeah, no singing. Can't abide by the singing. And we better talk about Jack A.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Jack A. We're going to get into the Harry Potter book soon. Now, normally, when we've had you on the show previously, either you or David or both have been very grumpy because you're normally off the white stuff.
I just want to say
sweet,
that I am
sweet,
not a,
sweet
I'm not
ambrosia.
A moody person. I can't
cocaine.
Speak for Branwen, but I am not
yeah,
a
moody
person.
Yeah, you're both off
person.
Cocaine. No, you're both off sugar usually for various
it's moody.
Different reasons.
What does that mean? Am I missing some sort of a...
Now, Dave, we know that you go off sugar for Lent.
I went off sugar for Lent.
Because you fear the devil. And you...
You've nailed
other...
it, sir. You've nailed
and
it.
And the devil.
And I've got your sugar. Your sweet, sweet sugar.
Don't get him here.
So why do you go off the sugar?
I go off the sugar every year for the entire month of March to raise money for At the Crossroads, which is an organization that does outreach to homeless youth in San Francisco.
A worthy cause. When you first started, you would walk up a hill, walk up a mountain.
The first time I did it, they do a hike for the homeless.
Okay.
Every year. That was the first thing I did.
Yeah.
And a friend signed me up for it while I was away at San Diego Comic-Con. And then I found out at the end of Comic-Con, when I was completely exhausted, that I then had to climb a mountain in 2 weeks. And I was a little upset. But then I realized it was a good opportunity to climb a beautiful mountain and raise money for homeless kids, whatever. And it was great. It was great. And they do a thing every year where you can kind of customize your own campaign and pick your own thing that you want to work on. Like if you want to read more, you vow to read X number of books in a month or whatever. Okay. And people sponsor you. And somebody else, I didn't come up with the Swarov Sweets thing. Somebody else had, and that seemed like a really, really, really good idea for me.
Is it hard? Is it hard for you?
It is very difficult because I love sweets.
Mm-hmm. I hear you.
But it's also good.
And yeah, that's fantastic. And it went well this year?
It did. I was really scared that I wasn't going to hit my goal this year. I manage to hit my goal every year and exceed it sometimes even. And so I raise it a little each year. And this year was looking tough, but people really rallied at the end on the last day. And I feel like I should list every name of people who donated, but I don't want to forget names. And so I'm not going to mention anyone. Fuck you guys.
You can just say thanks to everyone who contributed.
Yes. Thank you, everyone who contributed. You're amazing. And now, it's awesome.
With sugar deprivation, what's the hardest time? It's like the first couple of days, or like when's it kick in that it's like, ugh?
I have to say, actually, the hardest time for me is if there's a celebration, or like it was always really hard coming down here for Emerald City, which seemed to always fall on somewhere in the midst of my fast or near the end of it.
And we'd go to places that have homemade donuts.
That's right. You go to homemade donut places, or even if you just go to a restaurant, it gets. I don't like milk. I like milk, but I don't like milk in restaurants because it tends to sit out somewhere before the waitress can finally get over there and pick it up and bring it to you. So by that time, it's like ready. It's like your warm milk for bed. And, you know, it's middle of the day. So, yeah. So I'm always just drinking ice water. And believe me, ice water gets really, really boring. But you have it at so many meals because you're on the road. You know, you're not at home where you can just grab a glass of milk out of the fridge. So it's just so frustrating that all your habits of, you know, burger and a Coke or whatever is just throw out the window. To be honest, I don't really have a lot of sugar at home. I mean, we'll have cookies and things like that if someone will make them for me. But the rest of the time...
Why don't you make your own damn cookies?
I'm a man.
Woo!
I make pies. I'll make pies. Okay. I'm not a cookie maker.
He is. Right. He's a pie man. That's what they call him. Dave the Pie Man Dedrick.
I am the pie man.
And so for yourself, what's the hardest?
Well, there are a lot of birthdays at work in March.
Okay.
So.
Once again, it's a celebration.
Yeah.
The cake comes out.
Yeah. And also Easter. So there's Easter candy.
Yeah.
And it's actually like the last week that's the hardest because, you know, the end is in sight.
Yeah, you're right.
And I always trick myself into thinking that there are only 30 days in March. But it turns out there's 31.
Oh,
why couldn't you do it in February?
Huh?
I said, why couldn't you do it in February?
Exactly. Why is it March?
Yeah.
And it's also March is when I have one of my big giant deadlines at work. And
is this what you're telling us before about accruals?
Yeah.
An accrual month?
It is a very accrual month. And, you know, getting that comfort food.
Just explain what accruals are just for people who only heard a word.
Type of donut.
Biannual crullers. Royalty reports for the
So you have very, very many different authors and very, very many different books at Image.
Yeah.
And so you have to figure out royalties for each individual title that's published under Image, then under the Image banner.
Right. And it's not just me doing it. I have a team.
Are there different levels of royalty as well? So different, maybe like I shouldn't ask that. Maybe I shouldn't say it. Forget I asked that question. I'm sure you all get the same.
The diamond level.
Everyone gets paid the same rate.
We have a pretty standard contract.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's kind of considered the best in the business.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I from what I've seen, it's the best in the business. But.
A lot of the creators go into this booth that has dollar bills just fly up in kind of a tornado. And however many you grab, you get as many grabs as how many issues you sell.
That's nice. We talked about this last week.
Yeah.
I like that.
That's why I'm referring to it again.
It made a comeback. Yep. A tornado.
Oh, I always love those money booths. Oh, so good.
Is there a good name for them?
Money booth.
Okay, that's not bad. But
tornado
I was
of
like,
cash.
Yeah, but something that incorporates. Hurricash is pretty good. I like that. I'll go with that one. Because there's nothing else I can think of.
Money dollar. Katrina.
No.
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 No. That didn't get any money.
No.
No, it's not good.
No one got any money from Katrina.
Oh.
Except for
some contractors did.
I was going to say, except for some contractors.
That's true. All right. Fair enough.
No one really got much out of
Sorry
Katrina.
For bringing everything down, guys, with that whole
it's
thing.
Okay.
All right. Now, you also mentioned before the podcast began that you have not listened to podcasts in about a month. Now,
probably been a few months.
Now, a few months. Now, are you
Sneaky winning, Dragon
are you doing
her.
Something against podcasts? Are you raising money by not listening to podcasts? Why is this?
I was not a reader as a child. Everyone in my family are voracious readers, mm-hmm. and it took me a long time to learn how to read. And
so it works.
Undiagnosed learning disabilities there.
Okay.
And so I was never a reader, but comic books work for me. You know, the combination of the words and the art.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I like comic books so much. But there have always been all these novels that everyone talks about and everyone's read sure. that I never had.
Atlas Shrugged.
What that else, is guys? Not one of them.
One of them.
The Bible.
The Bible.
The Bibble. Yeah,
the Bibble. That's the second part of it. They had another B.
Let me just say, if this was a movie, though, it would start with you having trouble reading, and it would end with you as a successful editor at, like, the best comic book company in the world, right? And that's how it would end. It would go, like, triumph, right?
Sure.
Yeah. And that's
you,
it.
You, with a book in your hand, standing with one leg on a mound yeah. of books.
Yelling, I showed you, fuckers.
That's yeah, right. Fuck all y'all motherfuckers.
That's right.
Jackie!
The Branwyn Bigglestone story.
Nice.
But yeah, I finally figured out, wait, audiobooks. Mm. So my yeah. first audiobook was Dune.
Okay.
It's the best way to make it through that.
Never, yeah. never read it. Never read it.
But I'd always wanted to read it.
Okay.
But it's a big one. Sure. And, you know, so I've moved on to various things. And, you know, I'd heard that The Shining is a very different story in the book than mm-hmm. it was in the movie.
The original Kubrick film, yes.
Yeah. 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 And there is a lot more in the Stephen King book than was in the movie. So they're both great independently, but mm. it's different. And so I'd heard these things and I wanted to experience them. So I found audiobooks and I did all the Game of Thrones books. And now I'm going through the Harry Potter books.
Mm.
And so, you know, you start a Harry Potter book, you don't want to listen to anything else. You want to finish that book.
Sure.
So I'm on six now.
So you've listened to them consecutively.
Yeah.
Because that's an interesting thing to do. Like when they came out, I didn't actually start reading them right away. I think Mary, my oldest daughter, started reading them in grade two. And she read about, I think there's three out by that point. Mm-hmm. So she read all three. And then basically we started the wait for the other books to come out. So there's, you know, it got longer and longer as the books got more complex for them to come out. But when the final book came out, and I actually read it right away, but then I thought, you know what would be fun to do is just read them all.
Yeah.
And so then I just sat down and reread all of them. And what the thing that blew my mind after waiting for so long was, oh my gosh, each of these just takes place after a summer.
Yeah.
You know, like you don't even, some of them even take place during the summer, yeah. like when the Dementors attack Harry and his mean cousin.
Yeah.
It's, what's his cousin's name again? Does anyone remember?
Dudley.
Chubsy Wubsy.
Dudley. Not Chubsy Wubsy. Nice,
by the way,
nice guess.
A lot of fat shaming in that series.
Yep.
Hmm.
Yep. Though, when it was written, that was still okay.
That's the thing. I have to remind myself.
That has changed so fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yep. But it is interesting how quickly the stories follow each other, because when you read them in quote, real time, you know, it was 3 years or more between the books coming out. So you forgot
that
how
like
quickly.
It's like binge watching a series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that better, though? I like somehow. I'm kind of against binge watching, although I do it myself. It's like I find it's hard for shows to percolate, you know, to sit inside you and kind of sit there and you think about them and
Write your own plots in between and think mm-hmm. where things could go.
Yeah.
This is, you know, and we have talked about this to death on the show. But
Let's talk about it more.
But it's Watchmen syndrome, right?
Mm.
Where like when the Watchmen books came out, you would come up with your own theories as to what was going on.
Yeah.
And it took like way more than a year. And so by the time you got to the end, you'd really been building it up. And so it was very exciting. And then when you hand people a trade, they go, oh, that's all right.
Yeah.
Or they watch the movie and go, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing. Yeah. It's all right.
Yeah.
But like have you seen the Harry Potter films?
Yeah.
Okay.
I saw them as they came out.
Right. Now, do you find it a very different journey listening to the books than watching the films?
Well, I remember everyone, you know, of course, everybody said that they missed so much in the movies.
Yeah.
And so as I'm listening to the books, I'm noticing, oh, yeah, they did miss a lot in the movies, but you know, like when everyone went apeshit that, you know, Neville got to do something and, you know, had this pivotal
sort of
part in the big fight in the last movie, you know, now I'm the whole backstory for his yeah. family, I'm like, oh, that's why it was so important.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of thing is really
yeah, that's
nice
right. It is missing from the film, isn't it? I can fill it yeah. in because I've read the books. Yeah. But...
And we're going to, I'm going to watch all the movies again when I'm done with the books.
Okay.
Yeah. The biggest error, and again, we've talked about this on the show, is what's her name? Luna Lovegood?
Luna Lovegood. And her,
yeah. She
hasn't reached that point in the story yet.
Well, then, fuck. I'm not going to bring it up.
Yeah.
Don't anyway, something happens and it's great in the book, and in the movie, they don't do it. And you're okay. like, what is this? This is character defining.
I'll say one thing about the films, which is I think that in The Prisoner of Azkaban, the third film, which is
the best,
directed by Cuarón, Alfonso Cuarón? I can't remember his first name.
Y tu mamá también, fellow.
Yeah, and Gravity and Children of Men.
Well, I think you've taught me in the movie thing. Go ahead.
I could have been making that up.
No, fair.
The
fourth Batman movie, Batman Forever, I believe he also did. And
Dark Knight Rises, well-known director of Memento.
And H.R. Puffin stuff in the 70s.
That's right. Directed,
Sorry, the movie was just called Puffin Stuff. I apologize. Series was called H.R. Puffin Stuff. The movie was just called Puffin Stuff. Let's continue on. Mama Cass did a breakout performance.
But what I liked was that he actually improved the ending of Prisoner of Azkaban for the film. And he kind of streamlined J.K. Rowling's version, and he actually made it more interesting. Like, he kind of added some elements to it that were cute and funny and stuff like that, or he had the writer do it or whatever. But I always put the credit to him because it was the same writer in all the films, and a lot of those films are just garbage. So, you know, my favorite book was Goblet of Fire. Like, that book, when it ended, I was like, holy fucking shit.
Yeah.
I cannot wait for the next book. This is amazing. And no other book made me feel that way.
We'll have to ask you to leave the library.
That's right. You've clearly...
Children's section.
And then the next book starts off with Harry being such a little shit.
Yeah. But even... But when the film Goblet of Fire came out, it was such a disappointment for me because I loved the book so much that when the film was a little bit of a chaotic mess, I felt... I was like, meh. What happened to Cuarón? Why did he leave? I guess he only wanted to do one film. God damn you.
Yeah, I think the third film is probably the best in the series.
I think so. It's one that kind of rewrote it as well.
It's
because,
beautifully shot, too. It really gives you a sense of space.
Sure.
It's just gorgeous.
And the first two are very hung up on, you know, the kids wearing their school clothes and the sort of weird sort of exactness of the two films repeat. And he came in and he's just kind of like, well, I don't like that. We'll change the architecture. We'll have the kids wear street clothes. We'll, you know... And I was like, yes. I have to admit, my daughters were like, no. So I guess it depends where you are. How much you like changes in an adaptation. And I have to say, if the...
Kids are all about wearing robes.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why my daughters are Satanists. I'm certain it's a clothes.
Yeah.
Also, just to rebel against...
Because I don't know what the end game is. Like, I'm always like, what?
They worship me.
He's got all the sugar.
When the Dark Lord returns...
Sorry, she's got all the sugar. I don't know what pronoun to use.
When the Dark Lord returns to our podcast, that we say.
Now, here's a question I have about comics.
Let me throw this out.
Yeah. About comics. So the Harry Potter books come out.
Yeah.
Nothing's more successful than the Harry Potter books for young people.
Sure.
And crossover to the older folks like us. We enjoy them as well.
Speak for yourself.
What effect did that have on comic books? Were there any comic books that tried to grab a hold of that audience, and did any succeed at all? Because it seems like, you know, that is such an enormous trend. That's like a Star Wars level trend. And when Star Wars came out, then you had your Battlestar Galacticas, you had your Last Starfighters, you had your everything. Did anything come out comic-wise that like tried to get a hold of that audience?
But any of those films that you just named that came out of Star Wars, were any of those made into comic books?
All of them were made into comic books, yeah.
Last Starfighter and stuff like that? It's interesting because I think that Harry Potter
at least an adaptation was made. I know that much.
Harry Potter was seen as a children's book more than Star Wars was seen as a children's film. And I think that has impacted on people's willingness to do, you know, because I think that a truism in comics now is that kids' books don't sell. You know, so why would you invest a lot of money in getting the property from J.K. Rowling and hiring an artist and hiring a writer to adapt these stories and then have them just do nothing.
Except, you know, of course, you know, those books came out through Scholastic. Scholastic has a line in the comics called Graphics, but I'm working with them right now. And their Smile sell more than a million copies, right? And if I say books, that book sold more than a million copies. But a lot of their higher-end books do sell in the hundreds of thousands of copies,
which but is a fairly recent development compared to when Harry Potter first started, which would have been in the 90s.
Right. And these books are selling, and they're very realistic. They're autobiographical stories of when she got braces or was on a car trip or and had a snake in the car.
Bone is completely an autobiographical story.
Yeah, so kids' books do sell and are selling...
I'm just joking.
Yeah, are selling quite well right now. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I was just curious if there was anything that, you know, we've seen in comics that like kind of grabbed onto that. You know, people, I love Harry Potter. What's next? What else you got?
ElfQuest. That totally grabbed onto the whole Harry Potter thing and took that phenomenon to a new level, I think.
Time travel.
Exactly. Also that.
So like that Harry Potter thing's great. Let's go back in that time and
time turner.
Make a comic about elves riding wolves.
There's wolves. Kind of sexy.
There's wolves in Harry Potter. Listen, guys.
Is that comic still? Is that sorry? I'm completely ignorant on this. Is that around in any form now?
ElfQuest
in any way,
shape,
or form?
Yeah, I think they're doing like the final whatever.
Yeah, I don't think it's drawn by the original artist or even written by the original. Yeah, it's all farmed out.
Yeah.
Yep. It's all child labor they used to produce that.
ElfQuest was a gateway drug for so many people to get into comics.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember people reading it. I tried to read it myself, and
when I was working in comics.
Yeah. Did you try to read it?
Yeah, I tried.
Yeah, it's a hard one.
Yeah, and so I'd read the superhero stuff because I like that better.
Did you like it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I did. She disagrees with us.
No, it's fine. You like the things you like.
Let's end the podcast now.
Yeah, I was wondering, like, did they try to make that into another form, like movies or TV?
They did. I'm sure someone bought the rights to it and struggled to try and make it into something. But
like, I mean,
it would be hard to do.
There was a fan film.
Oh, really?
Okay. That was going around a few years ago. But I did want to say one more thing about Harry Potter.
Please
say as much as you want.
Say as much as you want, yeah.
We one of the printers that we work with was also the printer on some Harry Potter books.
Okay.
And he described to us the level of security that was involved in that. Because they had hired security, the publisher hired security to be on the premises at the plant. And to witness things, you know, cases be sealed to escort the books through the shipping process. Security was so tight to save spoilers from getting
out
or being leaked.
That's like having you on the podcast. I mean, that's why you didn't find out till yesterday that you were going to be on this thing. Yeah.
You've been having security shadow me for weeks.
Yeah. It's very true. Well, when the, not the first few books, but when the later books came out, we went to a book release party. And the books would be handed out at midnight. So you'd prepay for the books. And then the first one we went to, they decorated their parking lot like it was Gringotts Bank. And they had all the people handing out the books dressed as goblins.
Oh, wow.
And they had a chief goblin who like opened a big vault and the books, and then there's a big light inside it and all the books were in there. And then they handed the books to the tellers, the goblin tellers, and they handed the books out to the kids.
Oh, that's awesome.
And each book had a little embossed gold medallion in it saying, you know, you got it at kids' books. On this date, and it was nice. So we went to three of those. And
that's pretty cool.
It was, the first two were really cool. The last one was a little too big for itself, but you know what I mean? Like, so, you know, it's really nice when it's small and fun.
Yeah.
And then when it gets too big, then you're kind of lost. You're just one of a huge crowd of people in a big park and you don't know what's going on. The first one, we dressed our nephew as Hagrid. We had two black curly haired wigs. So we just put one on his head and one on his chin, put an overcoat on him. You're Hagrid, let's go. It's good. Good stuff. So here's an...
You lost him outside and he was homeless for 3 weeks.
No one could tell the difference. What's curious...
I'm not a bum. I'm a 5-year-old boy. I've been abandoned. I was supposed to be Hagrid. Listen, we've heard this story 100 times, kid. I got to get to work. Get a job. I should be in kindergarten right now. Sir, if I could just get
please.
Sir, I can't ask you for a ride because you're a stranger, sir. Sir, if you could just find it in your heart.
I can give you some candy. I
can't accept candy, sir. I'm a 5-year-old boy. Please, could you just contact my parents? Stranger danger, sir.
I was gonna say it to Brown. I think you would self describe yourself as a nerd, right? You'd say pretty nerdy.
Would you self describe yourself as one?
Self describe
yourself.
Myself.
Please only self describe yourself as things.
Don't make fun of me.
You're stupid.
This is off the top of my head stuff.
Okay. Are you a nerd? This is the question.
Some sinned mixed up tests.
Yeah, I think so. I guess.
Because what's curious up to me, you're sort of like me.
Follow-up question.
We are...
Nerd.
We are nerds. Yeah, you're a nerd.
Get her.
Beat her up. She doesn't even want singing. But you also like sports, which is weird to me because that's an unusual.
Yeah. Yeah. I was actually
I like how excited she got.
Somebody about this recently.
Yeah.
That, you know, growing up, nobody in my family liked sports.
Oh, really? So you didn't follow sports as a...
No.
Well, they were busy with their book reading.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, seriously. There's too much book reading happening.
And well, you can do a lot of that during baseball.
Yeah, my grandpa liked football, and I asked him... He was a Niners fan, living in Daly City.
Okay.
I asked him to take me to a game, and I think he was just confused that a girl wanted to go to a sporting event, and yeah. That never happened.
Okay.
That's and too bad. When I was a little kid, I wanted to be a soccer star, but it was Oakland in the 70s and nobody gave a shit about soccer. So
there wasn't even soccer leagues for kids then?
No, no.
Wow.
Because it's weird. Like I grew up in, growing up in Vancouver, growing up in the, we had huge amounts of soccer played amongst kids.
But same with Montreal.
But what was weird is, of course, there's no professional, there was professional soccer when I was a kid. We had the Whitecaps, but you know, it wasn't big, like say the Canadian football team was, or the hockey team, which were, you know, actual big sports.
No, there was nothing.
But even though everyone played soccer, no one followed it as a sports to watch.
No, nobody.
Sport to watch.
Nobody played, nobody watched.
Wow. Well, how come you wanted to play it? I got
a pair of cleats at Goodwill.
Oh, okay.
Like secondhand cleats. And I just like kicked the ball against the wall by myself.
Mm, that's sad.
And it was kind of pathetic.
That's sad. But how come you're interested in soccer?
And then late, I don't know. I think just because
was it Pele?
Cleats.
Was it Pele?
It was the cleats, really.
Oh, okay.
I had stabby shoes.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Cleats, pretty good.
And you know, in punk rock, it was the punk rockers against the jocks.
Exactly. That's why I grew up too. Yeah.
I hated the jocks. And
of course you did.
And there's so much, you know,
with their dumb rugby pants,
and racism and sexism and mm-hmm. in sports. I didn't want anything to do with it.
Yeah.
But Jonathan Chan, production manager at Image Comics, is the biggest Warriors fan. And he got me to go to a game.
He's the biggest Warriors fan?
The biggest. Well, one of the biggest. There's a lot of really
don't back Warriors down now.
Fans. No, and don't call her out. Yeah, let her hyperbolate.
Okay, he's the biggest Warriors fan. And
wow.
He got me to go to a game, and I loved it. And
yeah.
It was great.
Oh, cool.
And the Warriors...
They came out to play. Am I right, everybody?
Yes, they came out to play.
Bang, bang.
And I think it's their GM who is who's openly out. And
oh, I didn't know that. Is that
Grand
right?
Marshal of the Gay Freedom Day Parade in San Francisco.
Okay. Well, that doesn't mean you're gay, but okay.
No, but he is. He's out. And so it's a different
isn't
organization
the manager
than
the of...
stereotypical, we don't want any homos in our locker room.
Yeah,
bullshit.
No homos. Yeah, yeah. Isn't the manager for the Athletics also, Billy Beane, isn't he also gay? Or am I mixed up?
I don't
am
I confusing think so.
I'm
sorry. I've just outed him, everyone.
No, I'm
just
going to give him a call and find
yeah,
out.
Yeah, you find out. Hello, Billy Beane. With a name like Billy Beane.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's really... I didn't realize that. I didn't know that about the... Now, okay, so they're the Golden State Warriors. Sorry, everybody. I'm confused. Golden State Warriors. Now, where do they play? Where is their arena?
They play in Oakland. Oakland. At least for the next couple of years.
Fuck.
They are building a stadium in San Francisco.
Fuck that bullshit.
It is.
That's going to wreck bullshit. It, isn't it?
It is, because tickets are insanely expensive already.
Yeah, of course. And that's just going to be all corporate then.
Yeah, the new arena is going to have fewer seats.
Yeah.
I will say, though, they're building it themselves. They didn't even ask taxpayers to put up money.
Good for them.
Which is very respectable.
That's very rare.
Especially after
although there's kind of
the
history
Raiders
of that.
Debacle.
But Al Davis put up his own stadium in Oakland, didn't he? He paid for the original stadium.
No, we're still paying for that.
Oh,
shit.
Is that right?
Fuck the Raiders.
Yeah,
well, stop. You'd like to see them go?
Please stop being an Al Davidson apologist, Dave.
Yeah.
Al Davis.
Yeah,
Al Davidson is the. You're thinking of the sportscaster for CKW.
I was thinking of Fat Albert. I apologize.
Anyway, I don't like the Raiders.
You really don't like the Raiders?
I'm not a big football fan.
You're not a big.
Anyway, I don't like the idea of people
playing sports.
Being paid to get brain damage.
That is a problem.
Yeah.
But it's a problem in a lot of sports. So.
But on the other side, I like MMA fighting, and there's probably
I was
some brain
say,
damage
yeah, a
there.
Lot of,
so
yeah.
I'm kind of a hypocrite.
Mm-hmm. Join the club.
I am the devil. I get to be.
So you're a fan of the Golden State Warriors. You're a fan of the Oakland A's, the Oakland Athletics, who you went and saw last night.
I did.
Beat my beloved Mariners.
Yep.
Gosh,
in Seattle. So fantastic.
So bad.
Luckily.
But when did the Athletics win the World Series?
89.
Yeah, that's right. See, we're still waiting. Still waiting.
As someone who doesn't follow sports.
Times in the 70s, too.
Okay, just want to quickly ask, what kind of snacks did you have while you were there?
Kettle corn.
All right.
And tacos.
No peanuts?
And? No peanuts. Okay. No Cracker Jacks.
They're long games. Well, Cracker Jacks, the prizes suck, so what's the point of buying Cracker Jacks now?
Huh?
The prizes suck in Cracker Jacks.
Oh, I don't know. I'm all about kettle corn.
Yeah, kettle corn is an improvement on Cracker Jacks.
Is that right?
Yeah, you can eat more of it. Yeah.
It's so much nicer than the Oakland Coliseum, like a million times nicer.
It's a nice.
And
it's hard to believe that it's, 20 years old now.
Yeah, and the fans were super nice also. I mean, Tyler, Shayline, and I were sitting there, the only people within sight anywhere in A's
Reading the green and reading the green and gold.
Yeah, and everyone was so nice to us.
They didn't yell, "You suck."
No, we had some friendly ribbing going on, but...
No one threw salmon at you?
No batteries thrown at us.
Hey, it's not Philadelphia.
Yeah, I didn't have to pull out my roll of quarters.
If you get batteries thrown at you, does that count as battery?
It's a salt and battery, yeah.
Yes.
If they throw a salt shaker and a battery at you,
I just took a law class, that's true.
You just took a law class?
Yeah, I took business law.
Ah, are you honing your skills? Are you going to move up in the world? Is that your plan?
I hope so. I don't know. I mean, I just figure I own a business now. Maybe I should take some business classes.
Well, that's right. You inherited. Did you inherit the business? It was passed on to you?
We signed over to you? My brother and I bought in. We bought shares in the company.
Oh, I didn't realize that you bought in.
My brother is the managing owner of Games of Berkeley now. Mm-hmm. I am a minority silent partner.
Okay.
As silent as I'm capable.
I was going to say, that's hard to imagine. Yeah. Okay.
And
it feels like you're, let me just say this in the nicest way, a sitcom character that they're like about season 7 and they keep throwing more stuff on it. And you're like, well, what if she ran a toy store? That's good, right? It's like, yeah, but we don't want her there all the time. So her brother's, is he a character? Yeah, he's a crazy character too. All right, so every time we want to go to the toy store, we can do that.
Just living yes and.
Yeah, isn't she working at the comics place? Yeah, she worked at the comic place. She's doing the thing, but she's doing all
going
this.
Going to law school. Yeah. It's kind of a combination of Paper Chase with... What was it called? Laugh Factory? The Laugh House?
The Duck Factory? Oh my God, the Duck Factory? What's wrong with that? Okay, fair enough. Duck Factory.
Oh, okay. Too Close for Comfort? That had comics in it, right? He drew that space cow.
Yeah, Cosmic Cow.
Oh, there was a Bob Newhart one too. What was that called?
Bob.
Combination of Paper Chase, Bob, and I don't know what else. I've run out of stuff, sorry. I'm just thinking of those shows.
Can she like sports too?
She likes sports as well.
Oh, good. All right. We can send her out to the event. We can have sports people on the show.
Bend it like Beckham.
Okay. So we can have celebrities from all sorts of meets her and they like her.
Oh, and I got a great name for her.
Okay. What is it?
Brené.
It's pretty good.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Thank
okay.
You.
We do need her boss to yell Bigglestone though at her because I think people will like that. That'll be good stuff.
For a change.
I would watch that show. That sounds pretty good to
I'm
me.
A character in the Star Wars verse now, too.
Okay, time out.
Wait, what?
Wait, no. That's back. We're going to back this bus way up. Boop. Okay. Boop. Let's talk now about the amount of comics you have appeared in as a character. What was the first time you appeared in a comic as a character?
I think Chris Chiarusso is the first person who drew me into a comic.
And that comic was?
It was either G-Man or... The Hulk, the mini Hulk.
Understood. The ones where it's Marvel's like blue Hulk and...
Yeah, with Audrey Loeb.
All right. And second time you were a comic character.
I don't know. I've been drawn into Supergirl, Cosmic Adventures in the 8th grade. She had a teacher in that same comic named Miss Bigglestone.
Nice.
So I'm now in the DC wiki.
Good.
And... there's a character in another upcoming book that Image is publishing with the same first name as me.
I remember seeing you as kind of a maniac in a comic. Like, you're just a crazy maniac.
Alpha Girl. Yeah. I was a zombie.
Yes, okay. There you go.
In a matching tracksuit, Adidas tracksuit. I love that. I got the page. And nice.
Brings us to Star Wars.
You guys drew me into a comic. I was... Eating David, who was full of nougat.
That's right. Yeah. When you used to do the
comics. That is true. Yep, that's true. All right. And now you're in Star Wars. What era Star Wars are you?
It's one of the novelettes that Landry Walker wrote in the lead up to the release of The Force Awakens.
So it takes place after Return of the Jedi and before The Force Awakens. You're there in that universe.
It's on the same planet where that cantina is from.
Tatooine?
No.
Creature Cantina? Oh, the one in the new one.
Yeah.
Understood. Okay, you're there.
And it's the story of Rin Biggleston. And Billy Admis, who are there, who is named after my best friend Belinda Adams.
Oh, that's really good.
There's also a character in that story named Drix Gill, named after the art director for Image Comics, whose actual name is Drew Gill. Mm. So it's fun. I'm now in the Star Wars wiki too.
Yeah, that's great.
That's fantastic.
Or Star Wars is in the Biggleverse.
There you are.
True. Now
let's put this in perspective.
Now, what are you? Are you a humanoid? Are you a droid? Are you a cyborg? Are you what we call an alien? Though that's not fair. They're all aliens to us. None of them are.
I'm a humanoid.
You're a humanoid.
A big stretch. But there is.
Do you have powers? Can you use the Force?
There is some plastic surgery involved. I'm not going to give anything else away. The book just came out. They were first released.
Okay, we can't have spoilers
in
then.
In Kindle form.
Okay.
And they just, like this week, came out in all of the novelettes were collected into a book.
Neat.
Okay.
By Landry Walker.
Now, let me ask you this. Will there be an audiobook of that?
I don't know.
Maybe it will be in audio form.
Yeah.
Neat. Oh, that's great.
Read by Branwen.
That's very exciting. I got to tell Branwen what I was in once.
Okay.
At a time.
Okay. I know one of the things you were in.
Ted, please tell me.
Well, not a comic, but a movie.
Oh, that was me as an actor. Yes. Okay. Yes. Yeah. Go ahead if you want.
Happy Gilmore.
I was in Happy Gilmore. You're absolutely right. People know that and no one cares anymore. You
should have said, what is Happy Gilmore?
Here's the thing. I showed my niece and nephew that because they both are aware of the film.
Okay.
And so I was like, here we go. And the discrepancy of like old uncle versus younger uncle just was jarring to them. And also they did not understand why I'm in a movie. It made no sense to them that I'm in a movie at all.
No.
It's like I edited myself in it, like with some weird app and some bullshit there.
You did Face Swap, right?
Yeah, that's right. Face Swap. No, I was in a comic book. It was like Avengers versus Invaders, I think number 3. And Steve Sadowski is a friend. And he had Pia and I model as a couple. And so what happens is at one point, the Invaders fight the Avengers. And the Avengers at the time, Captain America was Bucky Barnes. Uh-huh. And he loses his shield. It goes flying through the sky and embeds itself in some place in Washington on some steps. And I'm trying to pull it out. And he steps behind me and pulls it out instead. And Pia rolls her eyes like, nice try, idiot, to me. I'm like, oh, boy.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, rough.
Nice.
Bucky really shows me up.
There's
asshole.
A character in A Man from U.N.C.L.E. book named after my dad.
Hmm.
So there's a Bigglestone in A Man from U.N.C.L.E. book. I've never actually seen the book, but my brother was just reminding me of
that. What was the
recently.
Connection there? How did your dad get into that
book? Our folks know a lot of authors, a lot of... mostly science fiction and fantasy authors in the Bay Area.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds like part of the sitcom as a way to get those
part
cameos.
Of a whole nerd dynasty.
Did they know Philip?
I'm the least
did they know
nerdy
Philip K. Dick?
Person in the family.
Did they know Philip K. Dick? I gotta interject that.
My dad did meet Philip K. Dick, had a couple of conversations with him
nice,
at parties.
He lived in the Oakland area as well,
was
I believe.
A very strange man.
I think so.
He also met Shel Silverstein. He came home one day when they were living at Haight-Ashbury, and Shel Silverstein was sitting on their porch.
Huh.
So, yeah.
Looking at a tree, getting an idea.
Back when they were neighbors with the Hells Angels.
Shel Silverstein lived on a boat in the marina.
Why aren't you just telling these stories on stage?
They're not really my stories. They're my parents' stories.
Well, that's how you start this. You go like, so you start. Now these, sir, these aren't my stories. They're my parents' stories. You might be asking why I'm talking in this voice and why I'm sitting in a rocking chair dressed as Mark Twain. Well, I'm going to tell you now.
Or your weight suit.
It's a long story, but if you sit with me a spell, I think you're all going to have a good old time. I'm talking about a man named Landry Walker. Hell, that boy was crazy.
He would toss a puppy. Inspired a lot of names.
Very good. Very good with the puppy talk.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Deep cuts, everybody. That's all I'm good for.
That's right. We call you Wolverine.
But here's something else that Branwen revealed just the other day is that she now has an IMDb entry.
I do.
Yeah.
I just discovered that.
Is it accurate?
It just says my name and the unreleased documentary that I'm going to be in.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
That's it.
Are you allowed to say the name of the documentary?
I've forgotten what the exact
title is. She's looking it up, folks. This is a little bit off the Sneaky Dragon path. So I'm looking up information. Yeah, but it's okay. We'll let it go.
It's a documentary about the Bay Area punk scene.
Okay.
From the 90s.
Were many people known in that scene? I don't remember it being very much. No, just kidding.
Not really. Not much came out of that.
No, just some band, little known band, Green Day, emerged from that scene.
Yeah, no one really listens to them, though.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a documentary that was...
Could that scene exist now in San Francisco?
I don't know about San Francisco.
Or Oakland. What is the outsider area now in that?
I don't know. I don't know if I want to say, because then another town will be ruined.
Oh, it's scary. Don't worry. Yeah.
There's a show called Portlandia. It's currently destroying a whole city, so it's okay. You can join them.
Heard the other day that Oakland now has the fourth highest property values in the country.
Wow. Lucky you bought when you did.
Yeah. No, totally.
Before the Google migration.
So insanely lucky.
Google migration.
It's actually a very painful thing to watch.
Well, yeah, because you have friends you can't afford to live near you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's.
That's Vancouver completely.
That's Vancouver
right
too.
Now.
Yeah. We've talked about it on the show, but.
Yeah. There's no way. Yeah. Something's got to happen, and hopefully it's not just an earthquake.
Well, something's got to happen. Hopefully it isn't just destroying all the agricultural land in the area to put up more houses.
Yeah,
they get sold at the exact same price they're being sold at now.
I'm going to get really sad if we talk about this much more.
Okay, we won't talk about it.
But the documentary is titled...
Are you a bit of a sentimentalist? I am. Like, I'm very sentimentally attached to the physical past of an area, if you know what I mean?
Yes and no, because sometimes a lot of that past is not good.
Okay.
And I'm totally fine with letting that go.
Okay. I don't know. Even that, I'm not... I don't know.
Yeah. But it's Turn It Around, the Story of East Bay Punk.
Okay.
And the...
So this is specifically for the 90s scene. Because, I mean, obviously, the San Francisco scene had an earlier one with the Dead Kennedys and Flipper and bands like that.
Yeah, it says a documentary spanning over 30 years of the California Bay Area's punk music history with a central focus on the emergence of Berkeley's inspiring 924 Gilman Street Music Collective.
Were you part of that?
Yeah, I was... The title was head coordinator, which was basically the GM of the place.
Oh, wow.
In like 94 to 95, I think.
So when's the starting point for this documentary? How many?
I'm not sure.
If we go back 30 years from now?
I'm not sure. I know the project has expanded.
Okay.
From where it started at to where it is now.
Okay.
You know, I mean, they really made effort to interview as many people as possible and be as inclusive as possible.
That's good.
And so it's morphed into a much bigger project than they originally envisioned. Mm-hmm. And what I think is really cool about this is that I have billing with Iggy Pop.
Nice.
Because he narrated it.
And
so several months back when the director told me, he was like, it's super double secret, but we got Iggy Pop to narrate it. Don't tell anyone. And I'm like, you have to have him say my name. Even if it's on the cutting room floor, I want a recording of Iggy Pop saying my name.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's going to happen.
Sure.
But I have billing with him now.
Yeah. Well, let's just say this. If it doesn't happen and Iggy Pop is listening to this, please just say the words Branwyn Bigglestone into any recorder.
Into your Apple iPhone.
And please mail it to us. We'll give you the address at the end of the show.
Yeah.
Email it to us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
I know he's listening.
Right. And if you're an Iggy Pop impersonator, please do it as well.
Yes.
In fact,
a Jack A impersonator.
Yes. Here's what we'd like. We would like you to say the words Branwyn Bigglestone either as Jack A, Iggy Pop, an Iggy Pop impersonator impersonating Iggy Pop. You're impersonating the impersonator in that case.
Mm-hmm. What if border... Jack A impersonated Iggy Pop?
Son of a fuck, that's exactly what this should be. Okay, here's what we need. We need Jack A. We need you to say Branwyn Bigglestone as Jack A impersonating Iggy Pop. It's a very special episode of 227. Iggy Pop can't make it to a show, and it's a fundraiser.
Yeah.
And so you're thinking, how can Jack A impersonate Iggy Pop? What's going to happen?
You'd be
surprised. What she does is she takes a mop, turns it upside down, and she holds it up like a puppet from a distance. She does the voice. And the person she's got to introduce playing bass is Branwyn Bigglestone.
Okay.
So this is what you're doing. You're playing. You are Iggy Pop, portrayed by Jack A.
You've been a bass player. I don't know if you're happy with that.
What do you want to be? Drummer? Lead guitar?
People have always envisioned me. What I really like
Theremin.
Is the shady power behind the throne.
Oh.
Shady power behind the throne. Okay, because that usually gets announced on stage by the lead singer.
And
let's show the drums. Have the shady power behind the throne. Yeah.
our double dealing manager, Bramwell Biggleston.
Exactly.
She's selling us down the river, everyone. This contract, record contract we signed is no good at all.
Exactly.
Rock on.
We're not going to make any money off this show.
And the nice thing is, you know, you're going to be doing this documentary about the comics industry like in about 10 years. They're going to be talking to you about this
period
of time.
Nobody talks to the accountant.
Oh, they do. After what happened, everyone's going to be talking to the accountant. After you fuck off with all the saga and the sex and criminal bucks. Oh, yeah.
No, really. Nobody cares about the person who makes spreadsheets.
Okay. But you're also an editor. And they're going to be talking about you. And you're going to have some inside dope.
There you go.
And they're going to go like, telling these stories. People will. Yeah, absolutely. They will. 100%.
Okay.
If these spreadsheets could talk. Oh, wait. They can. I can read them.
They would talk like Jack A. It's a little like something A. like this. 375. Why is that?
Was that Jack A?
As far as you know, yes.
That's true.
And it wasn't at all racist.
Not at all.
Guys, I got to wrap this up within about 10 minutes. So now I know this is the drag with Branwen. It's like you can go music, you can talk sports, you can talk comics. She's had a fascinating life. All this stuff. She's
my
got
my parents have had fascinating
You know, you've got really cool family.
Oh, what do you mean?
You work at a games. You work at a game store. You own a fucking game store. You can talk about games.
Games of Berkeley. Everybody should go and spend lots of money.
What's the most popular game right now?
Cards Against Humanity.
Yeah, that's very popular. Yeah,
it's the only game that's.
Yeah. Now, what's the new? Yeah. What's the new game that you think is going to catch fire? What's something that? How about this? What's a game that people aren't playing but should be playing now? That they should buy at your store. Make me a sale. Sell.
Don't put me. On
Always
the spot.
Be closing. Always be closing.
Don't put me on the spot.
Okay.
Okay. Don't
Chess.
Worry about it.
People like Super Fight.
Super Fight.
There's lots of good games. Anyway.
There are lots of good games.
I think there's a booth for a Super Fight here, isn't there? Is that correct? Like
they usually sell it at Skybound.
Okay, yeah, because I saw
they
like
might
one.
Have a separate.
Was it who'd win in a fight, this or this, and you put the cards down? Yeah, there's a big booth here at Emerald City with that going on.
Is that a? Okay, forget it. Isn't that Scott Lava? Doesn't he do something like that with his little watercolors of like famous matchups or whatever?
Yep, he does a thing like that. Yeah, but this is a game.
There are no original ideas.
Yeah, I mean, some people did
paint. I'm not saying that it's a copy. I'm just
saying. Some people did paintings of kings and queens, but there's also a deck of cards. They're very different things.
I am not. I just reminded me of it. I was not connecting it in a way.
That's such
a
rip-off of painting.
I did not even say that. You are putting words in my mouth, and they feel
so
good.
Judgy.
Put them in my mouth. Put all those words in there.
Oh, boy.
All right. Yeah. This is getting a little steamy, and so it's time to wrap up. Listen, what happens on the road, guys,
gets
recorded and is broadcast everywhere, so keep it.
If you're making the double-dealing manager feel queasy, you know you're doing something
I
great.
Know. You're kind of the Reuben Kincaid of that group. Oh, now I want to see you as that kind of a... I want them to remake the Partridge Family, but as punk rockers, and you're the Reuben Kincaid, just like pocketing the cash. I think Reuben must have pocketed the cash, because they were playing big venues. Mm. Big venues.
Were they?
Yes,
I big venues. It seems like they're playing like at a banquet room.
No, there's some banquets, but they also would play like big... And they always still lived
Partridge
in that
family,
same damn house. And, you know, always had money problems.
You got to understand, we still don't have pay equity in America, and that was a woman and children.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, he seemed to be living high on the hog, always had the fancy ladies.
It's no
Canada.
Not
a good-looking guy, but a lot of good-looking ladies.
We still don't have pay equity either.
Yeah. So we're all saying boo to Reuben Kincaid. That guy was a bit of a piece of shit. So we're all saying?
I don't know. I kind of like the actor.
Yeah, the actor's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's not put down the actor.
No, nice guy.
Kincaid Rubens.
Who played Reuben Kincaid?
Okay, I'm gonna let's just go through a rundown,
a checklist
of things that we should be listening to and plugging, because you've got such a wide variety of things that you're interested in. We've talked about games, so Super Fight for games.
Super Fight.
What should people be listening to music wise right now? What are you listening to? What do you like? What should people listen to?
Lately, I've been listening to a lot of movie soundtracks.
Okay.
While I work. Because it's hard to listen to anything that...
You've been doing a lot of studying because you're going to law school.
I'm not going to law school.
You're going to law school.
Yeah.
You have a You have a very respectable, with a teacher with a British accent.
That's season 8 of the show.
I called, this is true, I called the professor for the law class Professor Esquire because I couldn't remember his name for half the semester.
You called him to his face, Professor Esquire?
No, not to his face.
Just hey you.
I just talked about Professor Esquire, and then there was Professor Accounting Guy. Not good with names.
So apparently. For music, listen to movie soundtrack. We actually listen to a lot of movie soundtracks.
Just so you know,
just so you know, so I'm intense. Ian. Intense.
Okay.
It's, yeah. You're not.
All right, Dave. Mention something people should listen to music wise right now.
Wow. I'm really enjoying. I think I already talked about it because I'm really enjoying Wilco's "Ghost Is Born." I'm really liking that album. I know it came out in 2004. That's a while ago, but I just found
That's okay.
I just found it on. I just found the CD at a used
Everything's
place.
Everything's new to people online.
And I hated Wilco. I didn't really hate them, but I was kind of. I kind of felt like they're being shoved down my throat all the time by music magazines and stuff. Like, oh, have you heard Wilco, Dave? Dave Wilco. Here's a song by Wilco. You really like it a lot, right? And I was kind of like, it's okay. It's not the greatest thing I ever heard. But then I got this CD, and holy crap, loving
all right.
it.
All right, go ahead.
I have one more recommendation.
Please step all over mine.
Election season.
Oh yes, yeah.
It is election season.
Yeah.
I do this thing where every time I vote, I put Yakety Sax on the headphones.
Good for you.
Before I walk into...
Do you do it in fast motion? Because that's...
I just
because
have
we love Benny Hill, and so it has to be Yakety Sax.
Yeah, I just have Yakety Sax on loop while I vote. Every single time I vote. So I highly recommend that.
Song by Boots Randolph, everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
A country session musician... who had a big, ginormous hit that would haunt him till he died.
But it makes voting not so demoralizing.
Yes. You find it demoralizing? Do you feel like you're voting for the lesser of...
Are you singing the right song? Am I singing the right song?
You are.
Now, what are you singing? Okay, I guess that's
kind of close.
All right.
And yes, American politics are completely demoralizing.
So
aren't all politics kind of demoralizing?
Yeah, I don't pay as close attention to other countries.
Like, do you think people in Britain aren't holding their nose?
I'm an American. Yeah. Why would I pay attention to any other
country? Well, we have a very handsome prime minister, let me say.
You
have you seen him doing that yoga thing where he does the core strength and he's just like planking like on a table? Oh, it's impressive.
Yeah,
ever seen him fall down the stairs?
Our Speaker of the House does some crazy exercise stuff,
pretty good.
And that doesn't make him a good person.
No, it doesn't.
Our Speaker of the House rescued people from a gunman.
Wow.
No, that wasn't the Speaker. That was Sergeant of Arms. I'm sorry. Sergeant of Arms.
That makes more sense.
I think you're thinking of a character from He-Man.
I
think that was his best friend was Sergeant at Arms.
No, Sergeant of Arms at the Parliament.
And Manny Faces. Okay, go ahead.
I have heard good things about Trudeau.
Generally, so far, there hasn't been the big screw-up yet. There's a guy that I know who's doing a comic strip about this guy's a big screw up, and every week he tries to do something where, oh, this guy, check out the big liar, and nothing. There's nothing really so far. It's really running out of gas.
But what's weird is a guy who's doing this, it's not like he's a conservative. He's just farther to the left than Trudeau is, and Trudeau isn't lefty enough for him, so he's mad.
Yeah. So he does a lot of like comics about Trudeau's at the desk doing nothing.
I believe it's called Sour Grapes. Is the name of the
story? Very well be. All right. Speaking of comics, we're going down the list.
Stand up comics.
You know what? Yeah. Who's a stand up comic that people aren't listening to that they should be listening to? Go.
Branwyn.
I don't know. I'm completely out of touch. I just read textbooks and write papers.
Go online. Yeah, I mean, you probably have heard of this podcast, Stop Podcasting Yourself. It's very popular in Vancouver. But if you're listening to this and you're American and it's very popular in America as well. But the stand-up comedy of Graham Clark is very, very good.
Yep.
Go
check out some of his stuff online. And
I
by the way,
the bus with him.
Yeah, you rode the bus with him.
Bus with
delightful.
That's right.
And of course, Ben Mills, who we had on the show recently,
very
always
good,
a delight.
And can I say Charlie Demers?
Charlie Demers,
another Vancouverite.
Well.
He's very good.
Okay, comic books. What's a comic people should be reading right now? You're in the industry.
Why didn't you tell me ahead of time? I could have prepared a list. My brain always goes completely blank.
Okay, Ian, you recommend.
All right.
You think about it.
Now, I gave you a book. What is the last name of the woman whose book? It's Amy...
Abby Howard.
Abby Howard. Sorry about that. Abby Howard is a web cartoonist.
Yes.
And she's just put out a book. It's available in soft cover.
Collection of her web cartoons.
Yeah, soft cover and hard cover. And the book is called...
Junior Scientist Power Hour.
And it's hilarious. Sounds and cool. It's...
very good.
Yeah,
it's a mix of autobio and just plain out nonsense.
Yeah.
and some good stories about her time working in it. She's actually from the States.
Yep.
But she was living in Canada going to school, and she was studying to be a paleontologist. And there's some good stories of her working in Alberta and Saskatchewan out in the paleontologist fields, where they paleontology. And they're quite good stories.
Yeah, cool. So check that out. She's got a big web presence, obviously. So check out the stuff there and then buy them. And what would you say, Dave? What's a comic people should be reading?
Man.
Or something you've enjoyed lately.
Something I've enjoyed lately. I've been reading for the first time, even though he's a guest on our show, I've been reading Alex Robinson's
Box Office Poison.
And I've got to say, a really fun return to the 90s.
I enjoyed that book quite a bit.
Yeah. It's a dense, it's a big telephone book sized book, but it's rewarding.
And Branwen is saying comics are for chumps. Is that what I'm getting at?
Comics are for chumps.
Yeah, no.
Who wrote that?
East of West is my favorite comic.
East and West?
East of West.
East of West.
And how many Hickman issues?
And Nick Dragotta, they're on like issue, 18 okay. or something?
Very reasonable. You could pick up a trade and catch up.
A few trades.
Yeah.
It's really great.
What is it about?
It's
sell
kind
it.
Of
sell me on it, please.
Alternative telling of like if the Civil War went differently and there were, you know, multiple nations in, you know, America and the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse were real.
Boom, sold.
Didn't sell me on it. I don't know what happened there.
Fantastic. Yeah. All right.
I'm terrible at this.
No, you're great at this. You sound so sincere. Saying,
you should hear my elevator pitch. It's more like an escalator pitch. Am I right? Person who I threw down the escalator accidentally while I was telling them my pitch. Go on.
They're still falling to this
but
day.
I also really Hard have fall. Just been, most of my reading has been for school.
Absolutely.
And that's fine. I've fallen so far behind on all my comics and it makes me sad. I did a lot of flying in the last week, so I was able to read more comics on the plane in the last week than I've been able to in probably the last 6 months.
We know you're going to law school, so.
Yeah, and we know, and listen, we're going to have you on the show again in the future.
Okay.
It's going to be the same clusterfuck it was this time.
Let me just
we
ask
understand,
you.
We understand, but it's always a delight.
You may not have seen this film, but is it exactly like The Paper Chase?
And is it like The Paper Chase, the film, or the series?
Is it like really the series?
Is it like the animated series? What? Is it like the action figures? Is it like the video game? Okay. Is it like the dream I had?
Sure.
Where John Houseman was my dad. Houseman? Houston. What?
John Houseman. Yeah.
Houseman, yes. Okay.
Worked with Orson Welles.
Okay.
Yep. He was in the Mercury Players.
It sounds
John Houseman.
Like we've broken your spirit completely now.
We've killed Branwen, everyone.
All right. Well, the coffee is worn off. It's time to wrap up. Anything else anyone wants to plug before we get going? Anything you want to tell people about in the world?
I want to plug my store, Games of Berkeley.
Go, for crying out loud.
It yes, is please. In
What's the address?
Berkeley.
Okay.
At Center and Shattuck. I don't know the actual address.
She's the worst salesperson in the world.
It's right
Doesn't
next to
Doesn't know
downtown
the store
Berkeley
that
Bart.
She owns.
Wow.
It's right by...
Never been inside it. Has no idea.
You better...
The worst owner in the world.
It seems to me that you have a really good excavator pitch.
Might be full of rats. She'd never know.
Also, I want
Are you enjoying the singing?
I want to pitch Homeless Youth Alliance.
Mm.
That is a different organization than the one that I raise money for, but okay. is also in a great need. So if you feel like donating money to help homeless people, Homeless Youth Alliance.
When you were on last time, which I know we missed a year from last year. I wasn't able to make it down last year. You were telling us they had lost their building?
Yeah, they were evicted a couple of years ago and have not been able to find anyone in San Francisco who will rent a space to them.
Oh, damn it.
So for a reasonable amount of money.
Yeah. So Homeless Youth Alliance is homeless. They've been running out of...
They have been Google-fied.
The back of a van.
Mm.
And it's really demoralizing. I think they just declared a state of emergency in San Francisco for the homelessness problem. There's a lot of not in my backyard
shit.
Type of stuff going on.
Wow.
There was some family.
Who do you blame for this? Google, right? Google?
Twitter. Google. Probably Twitter.
Oh, Twitter is more responsible for
Google,
homeless.
Google too, but Twitter. Twitter got a bunch of tax breaks to move in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And
so they have millionaires. Millionaires and billionaires.
Yeah, and now
all buy
San
apartments.
Francisco is full, so they've all moved to Oakland. And
fuck them.
And while I like the fancy gluten-free foods that come with gentrification, I don't like that people can't afford to have a place to live, mm-hmm. and are going, who are poverty stricken just to have a place to live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People who make what should be decent money.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We look at Vancouver, where the average cost of a home is, I think, $1.5 million. Average income, $43,000.
Yeah, but that's Canadian dollars.
$43,000.
Oh, there we go. Yeah.
Is the average.
There's the dig.
That's still Canadian There's dollars. The dig. So yeah. That's yeah. that's the
yeah. It's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous, and we'll put up that link then.
Yes, we will
for sure on the site. Please, if you can help, and let's all just stay off Twitter for a week. Show them what's what.
Yeah.
Ugh. All right. Thank you so much for being on the show. If you want to, if any of these topics have sparked your interest and you want to rebut them, if you're a fan of Jack A, perhaps, please go to our website, sneakydragon.com.
Short for Jack Abrahams.
Not at all. And please post, if you want to correct Dave on that, our message board is at sneakydragon.com. We're also on Facebook under Sneaky Dragon. We're on Twitter, but don't go there. Fuck Twitter this week. Fuck them. We're not even going to mention that. Go to Tumblr instead. That's sneakydragon.tumblr.
Yeah, they're in Oakland.
Is Tumblr okay? Tumblr's all right?
I don't even know. I can't keep track.
Hey, you know what's good? Email. Why don't you email
that's
us?
That's right. You can email
sneakyd at sneakydragon.com. Sneakyd at sneakydragon.com. For the show, I've been Ian.
I've been David.
I'm still Branwyn.
Okay. Read comics. Go to sports. Enjoy music. And fuck Twitter.